want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the podcast today. I'm going to be speaking on the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I just pray for all that are in authority, all kings and all government leaders. I thank you for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I give thanks for all the listeners, Father, that you would grant them a spirit of grace, that you would strengthen them in their inward man by your Spirit with divine ability and might, and that those that are discouraged, they would be encouraged this day, Father. Grant them grace. Pour out grace upon them, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Before I get started in today's message, I want to address something I've heard ministers say. And they would say this. They say, when you receive Jesus, you are now in the kingdom of God. And this is the scripture they quote, Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, now, this work of being brought out from under the control of the powers of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God was done on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to be brought to repentance to escape the snare of the devil that has taken us all captive. And you can find that in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. That's in Acts 14:22. Now, I want to show you something I saw many years ago. Turn to Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are interchangeable. So it was being taught in the body of Christ that after we received the Lord, we were in the kingdom of God's dear son. And I read this scripture that the least in the kingdom of God was greater than John the Baptist. And I thought, well, there's no way any of us are greater than John the Baptist. So that was my first clue that we were not entered, that we were not in the kingdom of God yet. And then, of course, I read through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. And I read to get out from underneath the control of the power of darkness, we had to be led to repentance so we could escape the snare of the devil who had taken us captive. So we've all been under the control of the devil to some degree or another. We all walked according to the prince of the power of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. So I saw that teaching was wrong. So what I'm trying to convey to you is the body of Christ has not been raised up in the earth yet. Okay, now that's good news, because I don't know about you, but I'd be disappointed if this was it. Okay, we're born again, we're the body of Christ, and this is it. I wanted to walk in power and authority and do exploits. All right, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to ruling and reigning live, having the glory of God rest upon me, and getting all the blessings of God. You want to know when we get all the blessings of God? When we go into the land. See, it's laid right out in the scriptures. It's when we enter into the rest. And we enter into, and enter into the rest is entering into the walk of the Spirit. And when you start, this is one thing that I look for is and God, and the Spirit of God is guiding me into all truth. But as you put that together, okay, So when do we enter in to the rest? Well, when we get to where we can walk in the Spirit. And when do we get to where we can walk in the Spirit? Well, I totally believe I have the mind of God about this, the mind of Christ, is that when we become new creatures in Christ, we're going to get into that, and we'll talk about the parable of the bottles, and that clearly brings it out. And so when we get to where we can walk in the Spirit, we enter into the rest. I'm going to tell you something, folks. this talking about you become a new creature in Christ by saying one prayer, the church has been duped. That's all there is to it. Okay, turn to Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Okay, this is talking about Christians. If you're not salty, you're good for nothing. You don't preserve any righteousness of the earth. You don't hold back any evil. Okay, that's and we can clearly see evil is on every side, all over the world. All right? So the body of Christ needs to be raised up and stop this. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, look at an example of being salt and light. Who do we look to? The Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, this is Jesus after he got out of the wilderness and he was walking in the power of God. And yet, in this scripture, you have to take this and take other places in, where it's talking about him getting out in the wilderness, getting out of the wilderness and coming into the power. Okay, so the people which sat in darkness saw great light. See, the power of God, which is the glorious light of the gospel, shined upon these people that were sitting in darkness, and they could see their sinfulness. You know, we all have a conscience. We all know certain things is wrong. It's just like, you know, I've taught this, and this is not my teaching. This is Apostle Paul's teaching, that Romans 2:14 and 15 talk about the law of Moses written on the hearts of the Gentiles. Well, it gives us the knowledge of sin. This is why you don't have to preach the law. Everybody's already got it written in their heart. They already know right from wrong. Universally, people know stealing is wrong. They know murder is wrong. They know lying is wrong. Why? God wrote it in their heart. It gives them the knowledge of sin. Okay? But there's certain sins we don't see, or your conscience can be seared. But as the body of Christ is raised up, walking in the glorious light of the gospel, they're going to see their sin. Okay? And it's the power of God and the Spirit of God and God's people operating, you know, working in us and operating through us that holds back the powers of the devil. And it enlightens people to their sinful ways. There are people who think they're pretty good people. But when they get around someone full of the power and full of the Spirit, they'll go, oh, I'm selfish. Oh, I just think about myself. Like I see people on Facebook, the only fellowship they do with other people is when it's all around them. Well, you know, I understand, you know, I'm trying not to put them down, but it's just selfishness. They don't interact with what you're posting. They just want you to be friends with them so you can just keep interacting. What's going on? Everything circles around them. And I thought, man, be hard for you to have a relationship. Okay. Anyway, the decline of a nation begins with the prophets, teachers, and pastors, then the government leaders. And I'm not going to get into that now. That's subject for another day. But as Christians become salt and light, we hold back the decline of our nation. Now, I want to speak on the fruit of the Spirit. And I've said many times that the fruit of the Spirit is the characteristics and traits of the new creature in Christ. Now, some of you may say, can you prove that with Scripture? Well, sure. Turn to Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Syrian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. If you take what I just pointed out about being salt of the earth and the light of the world, it's not so we can be brought into one accord with God and walk in the Spirit and His power, but also become a force for good in our nation to hold the evil back. And, well, I need to get off that subject. I'm going to take that on later. I still want to talk about that a little bit, but I'll wait for another day. Okay, back to the fruit of the Spirit. We put on the new man. All right, now, it's going to describe here as we look at the different scriptures on putting on the new man, and we'll look at these attributes and their corresponding acts. Then we're going to compare them to the fruit of the Spirit, back to Colossians 3, verse 12. Okay, so he said in verse 10, put on the new man. Now verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Okay, now turn to Ephesians 4:24. We're still talking about the new man. And put on the new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. So here again, the Word of God tells us, put on the new man. And in verse 32, it describes him. Jump up to 32. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. So according to Scripture, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering are attributes or characteristics of the new man. And it says here, put on the new man. And then Paul describes the new man. And he goes on to say, the new man is forbearing and forgiving and walks in love. So let's see how these characteristics and these traits, these attributes, match up with the fruit of the Spirit. Because remember, I came out and I've been saying this for years, that the fruit of the Spirit is the characteristics and traits of the new man. And I just listed to you the characteristics and traits of the new man of Christ. So let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. But Galatians 5:22, I'm going to read the easy to read version. But the fruit that the Spirit produces in a person's life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these kinds of things. Let's read that same verses in New Life Version. But the fruit that comes from having the Holy Spirit in our lives is love, joy, peace, not giving up. Isn't that cool? You want to have that fruit in you? Not giving up. Being kind, being good, having faith, being gentle, and being boss over our own desires. See, self-control. The law is not against these things. So the new man is loving, and we saw the fruit of the Spirit is love. The new man is kind. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The new man is long-suffering. Fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And you can go up and match these in different ways. And so we see the fruit of the Spirit is the characteristics and traits of the new man in Christ. And we bear the fruit of the Spirit simply by planting the Word of God in our heart and as we abide in Christ. See, just outwardly being a doer of the Word of God will not make you a new creature in Christ. Saying one prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ will not make you a new creature in Christ. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of what I'm teaching, this is why the body of Christ is not overcoming. Because they've been taught something was already done by saying one prayer. But and then when you get over here about talking about putting the Word in your heart and abiding in Christ, oh, works, we're not saved by works. We're not talking about saved. We're talking about receiving with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul, but it makes a new creature out of you. You say, you just contradict it. I know. Okay, the Word of God. Turn to John 15. So we know we plant the Word of God in our heart. And I encourage every one of you, I can only put so much in these podcasts. I'm trying to make them a little shorter. I keep making them like 45 minutes. So I'm going to try to get down to 30 minutes. So, but if you go to the parable of the sower, Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13, I think. Look at the preparation of the heart that has to take place so the Word of God can take root in your heart. And just remember, you're going to have your stony heart broken for that word to get in there and bear fruit. You're going to have to get rid of the cares and deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things for that word to take, not to be choked out of your heart. You're going to have to get understanding of the Word of God so the devil doesn't steal the word out of your heart. You have to have a good and honest heart, but you keep putting that word in your heart. It's going to bear fruit, and every seed produces after its kind. Okay, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now that'll tell you something, why the disciples in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost could begin to move in such power as soon as they were baptized in the Spirit. They were clean. Do you see that? They didn't have that. All that old sinful nature was cleansed out of them. They had a new man. They'd been around the Lord Jesus Christ, had a new man. And then when they got baptized in the Spirit, boom, they begin to move in power. Abide in me and I in you. See, people quote that scripture, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Well, how many of you have been baptized in the Spirit of God, spoken other tongues? You had no power because the gospel is the power of God. And you have to be turned from your iniquities to inherit the kingdom of the power. All right. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Okay, so now we see we have to abide in Christ and we have to put his word in our heart. We got to walk in his word. We have to abide in Christ. It's just like a branch to bear fruit. Any branch has to abide in the vine. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, bring up forth much fruit from me. You can do nothing. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather him, cast him in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done on you. See, this is the key to overcoming, folks. This is the key. I've shared with you on many podcasts, the new creature in Christ walks in faith and love, and he availeth, he overcomes. All right? He's the overcomer. Why? Because then you can move in the Spirit. Now, let's take notice that that it's the fruit of the Spirit, singular, not fruits, plural. Okay? And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And God is love. And the new man in Christ is love. And all these other attributes, characteristics, they're all love. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Easy to read version. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not proud. So as you're walking your daily life, you can see still some of the characteristic traits of the old man. You have to keep believing, keep putting them to death. You have to keep putting them off. Then you'll begin to, as that word takes root in your heart, and this is glorious when you start seeing this, when you start seeing the love of God come up in your heart. And the different attributes of the love of God. Okay, so love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. And you know, it talks about correction in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And it says it's grievous. It's hard to go through. But it beareth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the new man coming forth. And see, you'll find out to get the new man, you've also got to be putting to death the old man. So the old man will get in the way of the new man taking root and growing up in you. So, you know, you can only do this. You just have to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, let him correct you. Okay, love is not rude. It is not selfish. It cannot be made angry easily. Now, it will get angry, but not easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. See, if you're walking in the love of God, you're not always thinking. Why? Because love forgives. So you see people always talking about something somebody did against them. Well, you need to get the love of God perfecting your heart and forgive. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it's always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. See, you don't care. You don't pay attention to the way people are acting. You got kids out there and they're rebellious. You don't pay attention to them. You keep blessing them. You keep blessing. See, you know why you bless them? Because speaking blessing over them turns them from their iniquities. God sent Jesus. I think this is Acts 1:26 3:26. I think it's 3:26. It says God sent Jesus to bless us and turning every one of us from our iniquities. So I bless people. I bless people. And that turns them from their iniquities. No, love never gives up on people. We keep blessing them. We keep thanking God for them. We keep praying for them. We pray grace be upon them. We keep interceding and trusting that God's going to change them. Okay, love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting. Never loses hope. Never quits. In that while, love is a strong, enduring strength within you. Go to verse 13. So these three things continue: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's the fruit that grows up in a person, love. And see, then it becomes your nature to love God. Let me tell you something, folks. This is what life's all about, is loving God. Loving your Creator. And you can know your Creator. God walks with me. You know, I was discouraged a few weeks ago because I didn't like how things were moving along. I thought, man, I'm ready to break through. And I had a few things take place in my body. I thought, you know, you have to be careful or not to get in fear. And I was getting a little bit of fear about, oh, what's that? What if that's this going on in my body? Or what if this is? Because you got to be careful about reading the things, you know, medical things. Anyway, I was sitting there meditating on Isaiah 53, and I mean the revelation of the power of God came on. Surely he had borne my sickness and disease. I knew it. I said, oh, I don't got nothing to worry about. Believe God. Believe God. Now, I'm not foolish. I'll go to the doctor. I'll get things checked out, but I use my faith. But I knew. I said, oh, I've got the victory. And let me tell you something. God will reveal his power to you. And it's just like it's written in the world, in his word. It's glorious. It's glorious. You want it, folks. You want the power of God. Okay. So anyway, let's go on. 1 John 4:7. Beloved. Oh, by the way, you know what? I was looking, I Googled this the other day about beloved, the word beloved, how many times it's in the New Testament. Do you know what's written in the New Testament? 69 times God refers to us as beloved. That's the relationship God wants to have with you. Some of you, you know, you'll run into people, man, they got money, they got health, seem to have everything, but they're empty inside. You know why? Because they don't have a right relationship with God. And when you get a right relationship with God, you'll be one happy person. So anyway, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Oh, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is being born of God. Sure is. And knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, some of these people in these religions, they don't have the love of God in them. They want to go kill someone if they don't submit to their religion. That's not love. You serve the devil. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word. Oh, look at this. We're talking about keeping the word, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Whoso keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we're in him. So we put the word in our heart and we practice the word of God. Let's go ahead and let's take a break here. And we'll put a song in, God on the Mountain by Pamela Pontia. And, you know, as you listen to the lyrics in this song, let it minister to you. God is with you in the good times and bad times. And when you're down in the valley and you're going through trials and tribulations and everything seems bad, God's still with you. So, you know, don't lose heart. Keep believing God. You know, I was just reading in that book, Hinesfield and High Places. The promises of God are just like the mountains out in front of you. But all the cloud cover and the mist can totally cover those mountains and you can't see them. And you think, oh, I don't know about that. And then the sun comes shining through and there they are. They haven't gone anywhere. Well, God hasn't gone anywhere. And his promise for your life hasn't gone anywhere. And if you want to know if God's going to do something in your life, just find out if it's the will of God. Because God does all things after the counsel of his will. And if he's promised you something and it's in line with his word, it'll come to pass. You just have to persevere. Okay, let's hear it. God on the Mountain, Pamela Pontia.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Now, let's just consider one attribute of the fruit of the Spirit and the benefit of it. Because I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, man, God ministers to me regularly. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll get busy looking at this or doing this or doing this. And then I realize, I didn't pray enough today. And I didn't read the word enough today. And it's because, I've learned not to beat myself up. But at the same time, I want to keep pressing forward to get the victory. And I thought, Lord, I need you to change something in my heart so I discipline myself better so I can say, okay, that's enough. It's just kind of like when you overeat. Okay, stop. Okay. And then God started ministering to me about the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And just consider how having this attribute will help you as it grows up in your heart. Okay. Because if you've ever tried to exercise yourself to do something, you keep having a problem. Like, let's use eating as an example. We all enjoy eating, yet we struggle with keeping our weight down. And most people have this problem to some degree, or another, this struggle with, wanting to look good, but wanting to enjoy eating. Have you ever sat there and ate and you knew you were full, but you just kept wanting to eat because it tastes so good? Well, I've done that. A lot of people have done that. So we enjoy eating, but we want to look our best. Well, unfortunately, our desire to eat can get the best of us and we gain too much weight and we don't like how we look and, the struggle continues on. But here's the good news. As you bear the fruit of the Spirit and self-control is part of it, you will have a heart to control your overeating. You know that? I also want to add this right here. As you put to death the desires of the flesh, which is the old man, you won't have these excessive cravings to eat. Okay? So see, as this I love to get understanding of stuff like this because, to me, I thought, well, if I just got to spend the rest of my life struggling not to do this, I know I shouldn't do this, and I struggle not to do it, but I do it, and I want to do this, back in Romans 7, I should be doing that. I should be believing God more, but I'm not. How wonderful life would be if I would just believe, but I don't believe, and I'm doubting again, And here I am, running around doing this or that. I need to pray more. Well, thank God as we get converted, we can do this. And, I knew a minister, man, this guy had the fruit of the Spirit in him. And I remember for years how steady he was. I mean, steady, steady. If I was to describe this person with one word, it would be steady. And, of course, there were some things he didn't let God correct him off and he went off track. But anyway, I know by revelation, this fruit of the Spirit growing up in us will cause us to steadily walk in the Spirit of God. Now, let's consider, maintaining our spiritual life. We need to read and pray and practice the Word of God. as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, that new man in Christ wants to do the things of God. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but I have to keep putting this in my heart. So I said, well, if I have to keep putting it in my heart, perhaps other people need to hear it over and over. I mean, is it God? I mean, I was asking God the other day, I need more control. And he started ministering to me about the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought, oh, no kidding. I've been talking about it forever. Okay, now we're going to get into the parable of the bottle. But this new man in Christ, he likes the things of the Spirit of God. And part of his makeup is self-control. And that attribute growing up in you will help you be able to read and pray the word and obey the word so we can bring this to pass. Let's look at that. Because God gave me this parable, opened up this parable to me a few years ago. He gave me the parable of the sower, I know it was 2008. Anyway, go to Luke 5:37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles. Well, good. And be spilled, the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Remember that. No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now, the new wine is the Spirit of God. The old wine is evil spirits. The new bottle is the new man. The old bottle is the old man. The Spirit of God working in you will continue to burst the bottles, and they will perish. And this is the old man being put to death. That's good. That's what we need. We need the Spirit. We need to believe so we can put it to death by the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, you're praying, believing he was crucified with Christ. You were baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you're believing that and praying, you'll get in faith the Spirit of work and put him to death. And then as the new man is formed in you, as you abide in Christ, keep putting the word of God in your heart, then the new man can hold the new wine or the Spirit, and the Spirit will not leak out. See, it says the new wine burst balls and it spilled, the wine leaks out. And see, a person who has put to death the old man, know this also, he's being turned from his iniquity. He will inherit the kingdom. He will inherit the power of God. And when a person is walking around full of the Spirit and the power, then he can be used by God to do great works and change people's lives all around him. All right? And become salt and light to this nation to hold back the evil. See, the reason evil is continued to move all over the earth is because there's not enough power moving through the body of Christ to stop it and to hold it back. Okay? Okay, verse 39 says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desired new, for he said, the old is better. You know, it talks about in the book of Revelation 18 chapter, it says about this spirit of witchcraft, and Babylon has caused all nations to drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's, we've all drunken of the wrong spirit. That's the way it is, folks. Don't be condemned about it. Okay? But that's just, we were in a fallen state. We drank of the wrong spirit. We walked in the wrong spirit. And now we have to get rid of the wrong spirit. All right. And this scripture right here, having drunk old wine straight with no man having drunk old wine straight with desires the new. See, until you're changed, you'll like the old wine better. You like the ways of the world better. You have to be converted. The more you're converted, the more you like the things of the Spirit of God. You know, one minister can get up. A minister can be in the wrong spirit and speaking things that are wrong. And there's some religious people, they, oh, amen, amen, thank God, preach it, brother. It's the old wine, they like it. And then someone get up and speak by the Spirit of God, and they all go, oh, I don't like that. Why? Because you like the old wine better. And someone comes speaking to you by the Spirit of God, and you don't like it. You don't like it. Okay, the key to overcoming anything in life, now listen to this, is staying filled with the Spirit of God. You know why? Then you can move in the Spirit, and you can overcome the works of the flesh. You can overcome your enemy, the devil. And it's the new bottle or the new wine, or the new man in Christ that can stay filled with the Spirit. See, to walk in the Spirit, you have to stay filled with the Spirit. The more you can stay filled with the Spirit, the more you can move in the Spirit. And so when you first start working at doing the things of God, your flesh will rule, and it's hard to get in the Spirit. It's hard to get the Spirit of God working in you. But as you discipline yourself to take possession of your soul, and as you're changed, it becomes easier to yield to God. And you like it better. See, that's what I'm going to encourage you with. Man, when I first started walking in this, man, I mean, there were some strong desires because God just put them in me. I didn't have the new man formed in me yet, the desire of God. So God just put them in me, and he poured out grace upon me. But then the old man would rise up, and he didn't want to have nothing to do with God. And, you know, I've said this before. I was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One minute, man, I was like, oh, man, God, you're great. Next minute, I didn't care anything about God. I wanted to go do anything but the things of God, you know? But I knew, see, this is why the fear of God comes into play. I said, okay, now you're going to have to make yourself do the things of God. But the more I did and the more I got changed, the more I liked the things of God, and the more it became my passion to walk in the things of God. Okay, now turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek after desire the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not just the power, but his nature, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want prosperity? Go after the power and the kingdom of God and the nature of God. See, so we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're to seek or desire righteousness and to sow the word of God in our heart. And we're as we sow the word of God in our heart, we are to confidently be expecting that righteousness to grow up in our heart. It's good that you know this because it takes time. But remember, the old bottle, the old man doesn't care too much for the things, for the new wine or the things of God. He likes the old wine better. So you have to make yourself, see, use your will to practice the word of God. Be a doer of the word of God and not be doing. And this is not doing works to be saved. It's practicing righteousness. So where it says put on the new man, it's telling us to practice the word of God. It's telling us to practice the love of God. Okay, Galatians 5:13. So if you got anything out of what I just said, you make yourself for a while, but the more you get changed, the more you like the things of God. That's what this is saying. Okay, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. See, we're sowing love in our heart. We're learning to walk in the love of God. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James 2:8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. See, and this is putting on the new man. Now, the next scripture, verse 9, is putting off the old man. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin or commence of the law as transgressors. Now, remember, when you first come to the Lord, we're in slavery to sin, the old man's desire. So we have to walk down the Roman road to get set free. Receive the Lord. Get baptized in water. Reckon the old man dead. Get the law erased from our heart and continue to sow the word of righteousness in our heart. Now, I just want to say this. Those of you out there, you're not convinced the law of Moses has been done away with for the righteous. You think that we need to preach the Ten Commandments. Go to my website, scottparkeronline.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. Click on the picture where it says Ministration of Death. And it's a picture of dead trees. And read over what I wrote there. It'll take you another page. And pray that God gives you understanding. Okay? See? And, you know, let God open you up and show you line upon line. See? And then you'll come to the place you'll see. That's what the Word teaches. See, we've been called to live by a new nature, which is the love of God, and by a new spirit, which is the Spirit of God, not the old letter. We're under a new covenant. Now, consider this wonderful truth. A person who receives the Lord Jesus Christ, continues in his word, will become like him and will be controlled by his love. See, I used to have a bunch of rebellion in me, and it made it seem miserable to submit to the Lord and to follow God. And it was miserable because my heart made me miserable trying to submit to God. See, your heart can deceive you, all right? So you got to remember, the Word of God is true. Anytime you look at that Word, you think the Word of God is wrong, you think your heart is right, you're deceived. And it's very difficult to get around your own heart. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is true, and it's righteous. And your heart, any part of your heart that is contrary to the Word of God, is in error, it's deceived. And don't believe your own heart. 2 Corinthians 5:14, easy to read version. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one person, this is Jesus, died for everyone. So all have died. Now think about this. Jesus died for everybody, and people's hearts can be so deceived. they still can't accept that God is love. Well, God proved his love that he sent his son to die for us. Now, as you quote this scripture and say, the love of God controls me, or you can quote the scripture and you can say that, but until you get baptized in water, put to death the old man by using your faith, then you're still under the power of sin and controlled by that nature, not by the love of God. See, you have to read that scripture in context, that it is talking about we all died. It's talking about how we're put to death and then raised up with Christ. You know, just like I said in the last podcast, people say Christ lives in them and they live by his faith. But until you're crucified with Christ, he doesn't live through you. You know, and I hear people quote scripture and say, this is how I am and how I walk. And they don't understand, have understanding of it, nor know how to walk in the word. They deceive themselves. You know, nothing wrong with speaking your profession of faith. That's good. But you need to know how to walk in the ways of God. And there are too many ministers that have knowledge, but little understanding. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And you know, it's the anointing or the Spirit of God that teaches us. In fact, it's written, if the anointing abides in you, you don't need any man teach you. Let's read that. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the Holy Spirit of God is the teacher, and you don't need any man to teach you. And you say, well, then we don't need you, Scott. Well, but you need my anointing and the anointing of other ministers out there that have, you know, that are anointed and have sound doctrine. See, I've been anointed to teach you. I've been anointed to lay the foundation as apostle and prophet. You can also learn things directly from the Spirit of God, okay? You know, even if you aren't called and anointed to be in the ministry, any believer can get revelation by the Spirit of God. God can impart spiritual understanding to you without me or anybody else. But you need the anointing. You do need the anointing of the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, the anointing they have. See, and we read that in Ephesians 4. It's the gift of Christ in these ministries. They're anointed for the perfecting of the saints. You can't go this alone. Let's read that. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. And let me say this. Some people say, oh, the apostle, prophets, ministry passed away. Well, they lay the foundation, okay? And I've heard people say, well, that foundation has given us the Word of God. No, it isn't. Hebrews 6 tells us what the foundation is. And that's repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. I think I got all of them. So the apostles and prophets lay that foundation, and the apostles and prophets start the rebuilding of the heart. Then the other pastors, teachers, and evangelists come behind and build upon that foundation. So if you say that ministry has been done away with, you can't even start the rebuilding of the hearts. See, we're God's building. Apostle Paul was the wise master builder. Okay, verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Till we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's describing all these doctrines out there that are not sound, and they're out there. There's ministers speaking all kinds of things they shouldn't be speaking. By the sly men, cunning crafts, whereby they lie in wait to see, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, in whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the working of the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me check for time. I still went 41 minutes. I was trying to do this less, but I didn't. All right. If there's anyone out there that's never been saved or born again, same thing. Being saved is being spiritually regenerated, and that's being born again. Okay, so all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. The start of the new birth will start in you, and then you can continue His word, be set free, continue in the faith, and overcome. So say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord and Savior. Just repeat it after me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died for me, you were buried, and you were raised from the dead. Okay, I encourage you to come back next week, hear my podcast. Oh, and by the way, I'm in the process of getting a fiscal sponsor. When I get that all set in place, these are organizations that have a 501c3. And then anybody that wants to give to the ministry can give, and it'll be tax deductible. And I'm using that for several reasons. One is so people that want to give to the ministry, it's tax deductible until I get, and I'm in the process of, I'm waiting on the IRS to get my 501c3. And it took me a while to do it, and I had a bunch going on. There's some things I had to set in order before I could file it. And I think the IRS is about 6 to 8 months behind. Of course, the government shutdown pushed that even farther back. So I don't know how far back they are now. But anyway, as I get this fiscal sponsor set in place, I'll put the link on my website, scottparkeronline.com. There's a donate page. And then if you want to give to the ministry, I believe I have the mind of God. I've known for a long time that I've been called into the ministry. I want to slowly lay down my business. I'm a landscape contractor. I run my own business, but I want to lay it down. That is not where my heart is. And my heart is on the things of God. And I know that I've been called as an apostle, prophet, and teacher. And my ministry is to lay the foundation. I want to go into full-time ministry. I'm looking at expanding, making it a full ministry where we'll have worship services, teaching, prayer services, and we're going to get people's lives changed. That's what it's all about. See, the Spirit, ministering the Spirit is what changed people's lives, all right? It's the gospel of the kingdom of God, ministered by the Spirit that'll change your heart and your life. And then we, as a body of Christ, are going to stand up in this nation, and we're going to speak to the principalities and the powers and the heavenlies. And you just watch what God does, because God is going to have a strong people in the earth, and there will be no wicked government rule over us. We will not have to take the mark of the beast during the tribulation, and we will go forth with the Lord all the way to the end, conquering and to conquer until we take over every nation in the world, and all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And then the end will come, and the Lord will come get us. And if I understand this part, we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we'll come down and start the millennium. So that's all I've got for today. God bless every one of you. Have a great day.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.